Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 216 for Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, remembering Wes Shum.
Good evening, everybody. It's K9EID, Bob Heil, but I'm not in my usual spot. We are coming to you live from the Heil Sound Plant. I've had a lot of people ask me, you should show us what's going on. Well, Here, we'll show you the outside of the building and all that in just a little bit. But before, we'll go ahead and show that, put that back up there.
Yeah,
there we go.
Woo!
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. That's where we are. That's just the front half of it. But that's where we're transmitting from tonight. But I got a lot of good people with here tonight. I mean, big time people. It's a big show, so get ready because you're going to be hearing from the DX Engineering folks. Tim has a huge, that's capital H, huge announcement. And, of course, all the rest of the players are here. We got Gordo down in Costa Mesa. How you doing, Gordon?
I'm fine. We're talking tags.
Yay. Okay. And Don, he's thinking up more jokes. How you doing, Don?
I'm good. We've got some amazing DX Engineering news tonight, and also Newsline and Dr. Tamitha Scovo will be with us with some pretty wild solar information. She looks like she's been drinking a lot of coffee because she was talking fast in the report, and that's coming up a little bit later. Bob, back to you.
All right. Well, before we get going, though, I wanted to let me do one thing. Right behind me is a production line today. They built about, I think there's 400 PR-22s. Just a minute. It's going to be interesting because they haven't been tested yet. So you're going to be with me, and we're going to test this thing. Let's see what happens. Does it work? Hey.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that? Yeah. The guys
only
and gals
399 built more.
That's right. But
you'll be done by the end of the show.
Okay. I'm serious. This is a live shot tonight that could have been one of those. But hey, I got to tell you, we run about 99.9% when they come off the line after they build them all. But here we are. And we're having a lot of fun here. Let me show a couple of things here. This is just a very small part of what goes on here. This is the final production, and this is just one of four warehouses now. And we're very blessed by all that's going on here at Heil Sound, I got to tell you. And we try to keep it all together. And
You should get your silver Sharpie out, sign that one, and write "As Seen on TV" on it, and slide it back in the box.
Serial number, whatever, edition. Whatever, right? You know, that's a good idea. I think I'll hang on to this, and we'll see what happens. I'm going to be here for the next two or three weeks, maybe four. So on and off, we'll be here, and we'll see what we can do. But I got one serious thing I want to say to my friends down in Australia. I got these special delivery birthday cards from Simon and Carly, and I thought I better show them tonight because on October the 5th, it's my 75th birthday. And I'm not doing that to get a bunch of cards. However, Simon's in this chat room a lot, and Carly, they visited at Dayton this year, and I really appreciate it. And Gordo, this looked like something you would pull. He wrote upside down, and he said, well, that's because we're down under.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right.
So thank you very much. Right. Thank you very much.
Simon's the best.
Well, what can I tell you? I mean, we're dealing with some very cool people down there. That's cool people for sure. But one of the things I want to do right off the bat, we lost a very dear friend and a person that is a giant. And many of you might not have known him, but Wes Shum passed away this week. And I want to bring Nick Tusa on with us. Nick, are you there? K5EF? There he is.
Yes, sir. I'm here. How you doing?
We're doing good, Nick. And you have a lot of life with Wes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your when you met him and so on. We got about 8 or 10 minutes here, and we want to pay tribute to Wes, and you're the guy to do that.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I got involved with Central Electronics when I was in high school because our high school club station had a Central Electronics 10A. This is in 1967, and I didn't know what it was, and it certainly was different than any other radio I'd seen. I'd only had been introduced to a few, the Swan 350s, and I had seen an S-line. Of course, a high school kid couldn't afford one of those. But we had our station. It was a Jesuit high school station, and one of the priests was a ham, and he had this 10A, and he had built a homebrew amplifier for it. But it didn't have coils for 15 meters, so I figured out that Zenith Radio actually had acquired Central, and they weren't building transmitters anymore. So I just sent them a letter just to see if I could get information about how to build the 15-meter coils. And lo and behold, I got a letter back from Carl Hassel. And I didn't know who Carl Hassel was, but it turned out that Carl Hassel was the co-founder of Zenith. And he had sent a... the information about the coil form, coils, how to build 10A coils. And he also gave me the phone number and address of this fellow by the name of Wes Shum, who was the president of the company. And it had designed all of these sets. So that kind of started a pen pal relationship with Wes. And I would send him letters, problems that we had with the transmitter, not understanding how to align it or fix it. I blew up the 6AG7 final in it by plugging in a GE tube and didn't realize that the set was designed around RCA and Sylvania tubes. And apparently the GEs were very hot and they would go into a parasitic oscillation mode. And so he got a big charge out of that when I finally did talk to him on the telephone. And, of course, he talked me through fixing it. And so I'm just a kid, and I'm 16 years old. And I started a relationship with him back then. And it continued on through college. And eventually I got an opportunity to go to Chicago in 1983. And that's when I first met him. And, you know, it's funny how, you know, you develop a relationship by telephone and letters. And you kind of get in your mind's eye a feeling of what the person is. And he was exactly like that when I met him.
He was a wonderful person, Nick. And I hear so many stories about him actually coming to people's houses to fix their transmitters, and that's the marvelous side of him that I remember. We got a couple of pictures. Let's run those up, Brian, and tell us a little bit about what's here. Go ahead and run a couple of these. So, Nick, what are we watching there?
Well, you're looking at the one and only surviving 100R prototype. There were supposed to be actually five of these made, but this was the first one. And it got finished in the early part of 1960. And it was being held up because of costing problems, because it was a very expensive set to build. The documentation that I've got on the engineering design that went behind this set said that in 1960, that unit costed out at about $900 to sell. And that was very expensive at the time, much, much higher even than the Collins receiver. Now, here's a picture of Wes actually in the central production line. It's a staged photo, but he's got his diddle stick and getting ready to align a 100V transmitter. Now, this is in 1950, I believe it's 8 or 9. It was the geophysical year. And Zenith had provided equipment that was set up at the Chicago Planetarium for a communications event. And Wes was the one who actually made the first QSO from that station. Now, this is Wes. This was at the first boat anchor field day that we had done in 2013. And that's the 100R receiver. Now, Wes had actually seen this and used it for a number of years. Joel Thurtell is the fellow that owns the 100R. And he let Wes experiment with it to kind of get reacquainted, because when Central was deactivated by Zenith, suddenly everything just went into turmoil. And he had lost track of where the set was. He thought it was... he thought a fellow by the name of Ed Passo had it. It turned out that the set was only about maybe a 30-minute drive from his house all those years. We eventually found it. And that's the same event. Yeah, it's the same one. And that was Wes and, of course, his wife, Marge. Marge, by the way, is also a ham, K9 EMP, Eat More Possum.
Well, they are a delightful couple. I had so much fun.
Great.
I was so proud to be able to meet them. And I appreciate all you do to keep the whole Central Electronic thing going. And we look forward to the next field day or event with you. And we'll have you on a lot to talk about it. But you might give a little synopsis of what's in the works now since things turned around a bit. We'll still meet on his farm as you've done in the past few years, but you have some other ideas that we might want to toss around, Nick?
Oh yeah, if you don't mind. At the last field day, which by the way, I think we have some pictures of it posted on the CE website. It's probably the only tent that has a chandelier in it. But we were operating field day in high cotton, so to speak. And we got the idea that in a group of us, K5LYN, Lynn, who calls the vintage single sideband net on Wednesday night, and also he's a co-net person on Sunday, got the idea that maybe what we ought to do is open this up a lot more and make it more of an educational thing, a swap meet, and have it on a day that doesn't compete with field day, because a lot of folks do have commitments on field day. And we thought this would be kind of fun to also get a number of other equipment manufacturers represented at this event. And this year already we've gotten some Cosmophone radios lined up to be at the meet, which is going to be on July 23rd, that weekend in 2016. So, and also there's some talk, and we don't want to talk too much about it, but some very unusual homebrew rigs may be showcased at this event too. It ought to be a lot of fun. Anybody that's interested in vintage equipment, vintage single sideband, just learning about how phasing exciters work and how to maintain and restore them, this would be a great opportunity, because you'll certainly meet and hear from a number of people that are experts in it. And we want to get more people involved in saving these old radios.
We'll be waving the flag about that for sure, because I will have have it on my calendar, and we'll want to make that happen. And Wes was the one guy that brought single sideband to amateur radio, and he was my college professor, because when I told him that, he was very confused. He didn't know what I meant for a while, but I built several of the kits, and I was 17, 18 years old, and that's how I learned a lot about electronics. And I want all of the new hams to take a note here. That's what you need to be doing, is get involved in some of these vintage things that you can work on. And it was that Central Electronics gear that really taught me a lot, especially about phasing, and phasing is so important. Nick, thank you for being here tonight. We pay so much dedication to Wes Shum, his family, our condolences to his wife, Marge, Diane, John, all of them there. And what can I say? There aren't enough words for me personally to tell you. I appreciate all you do to keep his memory going now. And we'll be in touch with you soon and have you back, okay?
Very good. Thank you. There's so few. In fact, I believe he probably was the last of those pioneers from the late 40s, early 50s that made such tremendous contributions to not just amateur radio, but the electronics industry as a whole. And we've lost a significant tie back to that era. So thank you very much for having me. And I certainly hope to see you in July at Storybrook Farms. And it will be a celebration of a pretty wonderful man's life. So thanks.
Well, thanks for being here. And we'll keep him in our memory and keep bringing it up once in a while to tell people and remind them. Thanks for being here. Well, we've got some more exciting things happening down in Costa Mesa. And we better get down there because you never know where Gordo will be next. So, Gordo, how are things going? Weather's good and all that. Thanks for sending the California weather out here, by the way. It's been great. So what's happening? I love the tie. The tie is great.
Well, thanks, Bob. And, boy, it's going to be an exciting weekend. This weekend is the California QSO Party. Now, beside just being a QSO party, which you can look up at www.cqp.org, they're going to have a challenge coin that's going to go to those that are able to work enough stations to spell the word Gold Rush. And if you are really a top scoring station, Twisted Oak Winery is going to reward you also with a bottle of wine. So neat stuff that the DX team up in California is putting together. So work us out in California. And thanks to Jim Druckenmiller, I've got the nice part for my my little microwave flow machine. So he and I on Sunday will put this on and we'll be on the air big time. Also, this weekend is the Makers Fair in San Diego. Very important for ham radio to present ham radio to those kids looking at neat stuff at a Makers Fair. This one in San Diego with a lot of hams helping. Also on October 3rd, Saturday, the Delmarva ham radio gathering in Georgetown, Delaware. All this month, WX0 UFO, the flying saucer event on the air. And then next week, we'll tell you about Papa Jack Trade Day that's going to take place at the airport in Tupelo. So more about that. But, of course, I'll see everybody October 16, 17, and 18 at Pacificon with videos next week in San Ramon. And then a week later, October 23 and 24 in Kingman, Arizona. So, Brian, let's go ahead and talk ticker tags. All of you, as we do, love pets. And it would be sad. Look at those sad eyes. If that pet got lost. Now, look at this. There's Miss Moo. She's happy because she's got her tag that is signaling every 1 second. And that signaling tag sounds like this. And it goes for a couple of blocks, maybe even a half a mile. So if your loved dog or cat or whatever four-legged animal you have gets lost, with these ticker tags that run an entire month, you can find your loved pet. Now, this guy took a ride in the gardener's truck and ended up many blocks away, but he has his ticker tag now. So ticker tags, they have designs for dogs, cats, gerbils, no matter what your pet is. Well, I don't know about that, but what the heck is that? A hamster, a gerbil, a emu? It's a what? It's a ferret. Yeah, there we go. No, the white one. Not never mind. But anyway, whatever your pet is, or even maybe an aged grandma that sometimes goes the wrong way in her vehicle, or the dog that escapes, you can track them down with these ticker tags. Parrots? Sure. Add a tag to that parrot. Probably keep it on for about 10 microseconds. But here's the heart of the system, and it comes from ComSpec out of Orange, California. Spence is a ham, and he tracks wildlife. That's the ticker tag in my left hand, and that's the finder, which is a single sideband receiver with a very narrow filter on our ham radio 222 megahertz band. And this system that I'm talking about is designed for licensed hams. They have others for non-licensed hams, but the system I'm talking about for ticker tags is for licensed hams. And here's one of our student graduates using the ticker tag to track a four-legged animal. And the little ticker tags put out a milliwatt, and the antenna is that entire collar. So the antenna is more than just what you see right here. This is the battery compartment. And while they're not submersible, they are waterproof. And you add the CR2032 battery. And once that battery is in, it will give your call sign every 10 minutes. And then you hear this ticking noise. And this ticking noise will go for about 2 to 3 to 4 blocks as a proximity ticker. And you can spot it easily by driving around or walking around after you've got the battery in. And the batteries you see here last for a month. You can tell when it's getting weak because it puts a little warble. Here we have many ticker tags. You can get up to 50 with one receiver going to each of the 50 channels to tune them in. And no, you're not going to hear it on an FM receiver on the 222 band. They're interstitial. And because they're a short millisecond pulse, you're not going to hear it on FM. But on sideband, as you can see here, we've charted them quite a distance. Spence has done a good job of going from the classic design on the left to the new narrow mode on the right. And whether you're using the classic mode that we see here, that's the antenna that comes with it. These are about $250, but they are a sensitive receiver. I can hear the gardener with his leaf machine about a block away. That's how sensitive it is on the 222 megahertz band. 50 channels of reception and S-meter. Here we are a few weeks ago doing some testing at a local get-together with our CERT team here in the local area. And it was easy for them to track it down. Runs on a single 9-volt battery for the DF finder. And it is quite directional. And you can put in as many different channels, up to 50 that you want, to check your moosh or your tag or your wallet or whatever. Even a radio that you prize, you can stick a ticker tag in it. And as long as you remember every 30 days to change the battery, you're good to go. It has an S meter, has an attenuator so you can block it. And every year we test it at Quartz Fest. And while we see all these exotic antennas, it takes really the ComSpec antenna that you see the kids playing with here to track down the tag. And kids love this kind of tea hunting. And the pets won't even know that they're wearing a collar. And I think you'll enjoy having this system. Now, to learn more about it, go to www.com-spec.com. www.comspec.com. And turn on the tag and start tracking your favorite feline or your dog pal or whoever. So ticker tags, they work. They come from a ham here in Orange, ComSpec, and they can save the day of your favorite pal in case they should stray away. Now remember, East Coast, you've got a huge hurricane bearing down on you. After these hurricanes, pets usually get displaced. You could go to an animal shelter, and with one sweep of the DF machine, you could find out whether or not your pet is there or not. You don't even have to get out of the car. So something to think about. ComSpec ticker tags. So let's go over to Don, and Don, take it away.
Looking through, thank you, Gordon. Fascinating stuff. I'm looking through the DX engineering catalog, and these things get thicker every time a new one comes out. And you know why they get thicker? Because they keep adding new stuff. And they get calls all the time. Why don't you have this? Why don't you carry brand X? Why don't you carry brand Y? Why don't you carry brand Z? Well, you know, you can't carry every letter of the envelope. Like, for instance, well, brand X, we haven't really found anything good yet for X. Xylophone, maybe? Not really an amateur radio application for that. Plus, you can't play music on the ham bands anyway. And brand Z, what, a zebra? Well, the shipping would be outrageous to ship a zebra. And let me tell you something. You think the HOA has problems with your antenna. Wait till you get a zebra. But we've got brand Y covered because it's going to be a big reveal tonight. Brian, come back to me because I want to show you something. We've got brand Y covered. You know what we're going to do for brand Y? Drop that banner at the bottom. I want to show you something. You see this DX Engineering shirt? Now, we're here with brand X. I guess you got the X in the logo, but we're going to do something tonight here. We're going to show you just what's exciting. Right here it is. Brand Y. Yaesu. DX Engineering is now carrying Yaesu. I'll even put the hat on because I'll wear it sideways just to mess with Heil. That's right. Yaesu, now part of the DX Engineering family. And Yaesu high-performance radios and accessories. You know, my first real ham radio was a Yaesu and Yaesu FT530 handheld 20 years ago. I've had a number of Yaesu radios, and they've all been excellent. A little 817, talking about hurricanes, I evacuated for Katrina with my 817, and it was a lifeline. Let me tell you something, back when we were evacuated from New Orleans. Well, all the popular Yaesu radios and accessories are now at DX Engineering, and you can get them right now, like the 857D. It's a small footprint mobile radio. It's a great radio. HF radio gets you practically on all of the ham radio bands. Extended receive range too. Aircraft, broadcast, weather bands, multi-band capability makes it a great radio for MCOM duty. And again, if you've got a bug out for a hurricane, that is a good choice to have. Newest version features Yaesu's once optional DSP circuitry. Now, no additional charge. It has a large intuitive tuning knob for easy operation, even while you're in the car. And the control head is detachable, so it's a snap to install on practically any vehicle. Then there's the FTDX 1200, the latest radio in Yaesu's FTDX series. 100 watts of power for sideband, CW and FM, 25 on AM. Built-in antenna tuner makes it easy to use, and the 1200 is a workhorse. Transceiver, general coverage receiver, and an amazing price tag, too. It's a great choice for competitive contesting and chasing DX. And Yaesu's long been known as a good DX radio. Rugged and compact, too. Great choice for field use. Then there is the FTM400DR. Takes full advantage of Yaesu's exclusive System Fusion platform. This is a digital platform. It's a cutting-edge digital transmission method, couples traditional FM and digital modulation, C4FM. You can learn a whole lot more about System Fusion at Yaesu.com. It capitalizes on the System Fusion to give you excellent digital performance. And more importantly, the radio is completely capable and compatible with digital communication standards, which means it will not be outdated anytime soon. It also works in three distinct digital modes, plus analog FM for incredible versatility. You need to check out everything that Yaesu has, and you can do that now at DX Engineering, the entire line. Detail specs, Yaesu accessories too, dxengineering.com, and spread the word that now Yaesu is at DX Engineering. You like the hat, Heil? I know you do. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your ground shipping order in by, say, 10 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday, and if it's in stock, they'll put it on a truck headed your way that day. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog, shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com. And we thank DX Engineering and Yaesu now for their support of Ham Nation. And those Heil microphones sound really, really good on those Yaesu radios. And we have a special guest tonight, and that would be Mr. DX. That's Tim Duffy, K3LR, live and direct from the World DX headquarters in Ohio. How are you doing, sir? You're looking fine with all that Yaesu gear around you.
Hey, Don. Great to see you tonight. And I like the two-shirt. You know, it's like single op two shirts. You've heard
That's
of
right.
single op two radio. Well, you had the two shirts going tonight. And, Don, we were so excited to have you be the guy that breaks the news about Yaesu coming to DX Engineering. And we are stocked. The warehouse is full of Yaesu radios. we're ready to go. I mean, we've been working on this for weeks. It's been tough to keep it quiet. But, you know, every week we were getting all sorts of emails and phone calls. How come you guys don't have Yaesu? Now we've got Yaesu. So we're so proud to bring this to the amateur radio community and very excited about it. All of the accessories will be here. And, hey, Don, there's still time tonight to place your order before 10 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll get it on a truck out of here, out of the warehouse. We've got the 1200, the 857, the 400, all of these radios that you see right here. We've got them ready to go in the box, and we'll get them on a truck tonight. So it doesn't get any better. Yaesu, last day of September, we're ready to go. October specials for Yaesu start tomorrow. So the news even gets better because there'll be more savings coming on these October specials. So stay tuned.
Hey, Tim, I think we need to talk to Chris. We need to talk to the Yaesu cat, and that would be Chris. Get Chris on the horn. There he is. Hey, Chris,
hello, everybody.
How
you doing tonight?
It was good seeing you at Huntsville, my friend. Good
sharing. Yeah, it was great. Actually, Don, I think I gave you that cap, didn't I?
I think you may have, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I think so. I think there's no hair in it, so it had to have been from you.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we are very excited to have DX Engineering as part of the Yaesu family. Actually, I can't say that I'm not a little bit nervous tonight being on here with DX Engineering. I'm just so excited to have them as part of the family. We've got a lot of great products that have come out. As you mentioned, the FTM400DR, the FTDX1200. We've got a lot of great products that are going to be in stock. They're in stock right now at DX Engineering. And we couldn't be happier to have him with us.
I bet this is. I'm wrangling with my torn shirt. This is like one of my favorite shirts too. But that's all right. I've got another one. So good. Tell me more about how this came to be. How long it took to get the deal together, and now that everybody's in the DX Engineering family, it's just an awesome thing. So I know it's something you guys have been working on for a while, right?
Actually, this plan's been in works for quite a while. It's been several months now. We've been communicating with DX Engineering. And as Tim had mentioned, this is something that's been just really hard to keep under wraps. All the excitement that's in me wanting to tell everybody that DX Engineering's coming on board as part of our family. And we're just really happy to have them. Tim and his team contacted us several months ago. We began working with them, and we see a lot of good potential in DX Engineering, especially for serving our clients in the ham radio industry. So once again, I can't say enough just how excited we are to have them and have them sponsoring and promoting our products.
Yeah, and everything from the huge mega HF rigs all the way down to these little guys. And this is an amazing little radio. This is I don't have my glasses on, and it's hard to see, but this is the VX3, I believe this is. And I love this thing. This is a great local area coverage if you've got a repeater close to you. Just like this, it's perfect. And let me tell you something. If you're going to go and hang out at Hamfest or Field Day or whatever, this is like one of the best radios to have, because it's not going to take up a whole lot of room. You know, you can slide it in your pocket. It's not going to hang off your belt. These are just, when I first saw these little bitty tiny HTs, and this is a full-featured dual-band radio. When I first saw these, I thought, well, now that, I don't know about a little radio like that, but I've had this one in the VX2. And I got to tell you, these are just, I mean, there's a lot of bang for the buck in these little guys, Chris. These are great little radios.
Yeah, it's actually an amazing radio. And, you know, one of the things that really gets me a lot is, you know, we have a lot of Chinese knockoffs out there that are just like them. But there's nothing like the VX3. One of the other things, beside it being a good general receiver, it does cover, you know, the shortwave bands all the way up to UHF and above, actually, to 999 megahertz. So it's a good just general coverage receiver to have as well. And it's an amazing radio. The battery life on it's just absolutely exceptional. So they've been one of our hottest sellers, and they are in stock at DX Engineering, and that's one of the radios that we're very happy to promote on the market right now.
So congratulations to you, because you have one of the premier dealers, or you already probably know that, but we really appreciate all that you've done, Chris, to make this happen for DX Engineering, and it's just a wonderful thing to be able to support all of the people out there in Ohio. And now, hey, I just went back to the production line. This is our test this is our test radio that we test our handy talkie headsets on, and it works great. It's been here for a long time. We have about four or five other Yaesus that we use back in the test area to test each and every product here, and Yaesu just continues to keep ticking every day, and we appreciate all that you do in bringing the new products to us. So congratulations, Tim. I'm really happy for you, and I guess if we got online right now, we could probably have a product shipped out of there before midnight. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, you got about 17 minutes left. I feel like I'm on the shopping channel. You know, you got 17 minutes left to place your order tonight, and it will get on a truck before midnight. So you're absolutely right, Bob. And thanks to you for all your help and inspiration for putting in good words for DX Engineering throughout the market. And you know, we're very, very excited about the future here with Yaesu at DX Engineering.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to head back down to Don. I think he's got some news from Newsline and other things, but we're so happy that you're here. Happy to have the news. So, Don, it's all yours.
Very good. Tim, Chris, thanks a lot for being with us, and thanks for being part of Ham Nation. We literally could not do it without you. We appreciate you guys so much. So all the best, guys. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. Brian?
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1978, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. The amateur radio community is grieving the loss of two members, one a victim of California's Butte wildfire, the other a law officer killed in the line of duty in a Florida shooting. They are Mark McLeod, K6YCV of Mokelum Hill, California, and William Myers, KK4KF of Shalimar, Florida. McLeod was confirmed as being among the latest death toll in the wildfires that have been sweeping the West Coast state since September 9th. His body was found outside his house on September 16th, one of two fatalities in the Butte fire raging east of Sacramento. The retiree, who was disabled, could not be convinced to abandon his residence despite the risks. According to McLeod's profile on QRZ, he was an avid gardener who devoted the balance of his time to his HF antenna projects. The death of Myers, an Okaloosa County, Florida sheriff's deputy, came in the line of duty on Tuesday, September 22nd, while he was serving an injunction in a domestic violence case. Before he could serve, 33-year-old Joel Smith, the document to protect Smith's partner and call for the removal of firearms, Smith fired a previously concealed weapon at him. Myers died of his injuries a short time later at the hospital following surgery. According to Myers' QSL.net profile, he was an Air Force retiree and the father of two sons, one of whom is also a ham. He was an enthusiastic QRP operator and a fan of kit-built radios, including some vintage Heath kits.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to their friends and family.
The International Amateur Radio Union has put radio amateurs on alert to some new and persistent sources of interference.
An increasing amount of Russian military traffic is turned up on 40 and 20 meters, according to the September newsletter from the IARU Region 1 monitoring system. Monitors in Europe reported strong daily interference and frequent splatter, in particular in Gorodezh on 14.108 megahertz from a Russian over-the-horizon radar, and found the Russian Navy using FMCW frequently on 14.192 megahertz. Other monitors based in Germany reported Chinese over-the-horizon radars operating on other bands, including 75 meters. Region 1 monitors have also detected interference from Spanish fishing vessels on all bands and an interfering transmission from a beacon in Kazakhstan on 7027.5 kilohertz, sent as a continuous letter V. European-based monitors have also detected interference on 10 meters as transmissions between taxi dispatchers and drivers.
License applicants, welcome to the age of paperless paperwork.
In keeping with its announcement earlier this year, the FCC has stopped printing and mailing license documents as part of its plan to economize and streamline, and that's made things busier than ever at the ARRL's VEC. VEC manager Maria Soma, AB1FM, says her offices are receiving three times the number of calls from amateurs who may be confused about the change or need additional information on how to get copies of their license. Soma has responded by creating a webpage called Obtain License Copy, which walks website visitors through the ways to receive an official document from the FCC.
Amateurs wanting a license copy can call the FCC directly. The number is 877-480-3201. Select option 4 from the menu. And finally this week, just in case anyone thought that amateur radio was the ultimate boys club, think again.
Angie Buchanan, N7EMB, is back to hosting a Monday night on-air gathering of women amateurs on the Eastern Arizona ARS Repeater System, or EARS, at 7:30 Mountain Time. The net evolved as a way to get licensed females on the air and to get to know one another. It's also a way to improve operating skills and check how well the radio equipment is working. And she says, quote, to feel more relaxed behind the mic, just in case we're ever needed in an emergency situation. Angie says she hopes to make it fun, even for the shyest amateurs, and if that sounds like you, you can email her instead, include your call sign, and she will call you on the air. She says, quote, I want them to be able to handle the radio in an emergency situation and not have their husbands to direct them. Sorry, guys, OMs are banned from this net, but Angie says most of them understand perfectly and accept it. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
Angie's email address is emberfire@cox.net. It's nice to hear more stories involving YLs on the air. We need more of that. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Heather Emby, KB3TZD, and Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And now, here's Dr. Tamitha Scove with the solar update.
We have a fury of flares popping off the sun like camera bulbs flashing at a red carpet event. And an enormous filament, easily 50 times the size of the Earth, gets shredded by the power of the sun. Those stories and more in the news this week. Hi, I'm Tamitha Scove. The sun's activity has just gone up like gangbusters this week. We have region 2422 that started firing off M-class flares back right around the 27th, and we soon realized that it was magnetically connected to region 2423 over here. They started trading off pot shots like nobody's business, and we've been watching this other filament that we expected to erupt, and it was just hanging on and hanging on, and 2423 took care of that puppy. It just ripped it apart. If you can see right here, it shredded it and annihilated the thing, and it just kind of hung out in the sun's atmosphere for a little while before it finally erupted on the 30th. What a spectacular show. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see things were pretty quiet up until about the 27th. That's when region 2422 and 2423 really started upping the ante. And we've had since then way over a dozen M-class flares. As a matter of fact, for a little while, we had the background levels hovering at an M-flare threat level. It was unbelievable. And since then, things have quieted down just a smidge. We're hovering now around a C5 level, which is still really noisy for you amateur radio operators. But at least we're kind of coming down a little bit, but we keep popping back up. And even though region 2423 has now rotated around the backside, 2422 is still firing these things in Earth view, and we will continue to see this noise and have issues with the ham radio bands until region 2423 rotates out of sight. And if you're wondering why region 2422 is so incredibly active, here's a hint. These are magnetic field diagrams that show which direction the magnetic field is pointing inside the region. Red is pointing one direction, blue is pointing another direction. It doesn't really matter which way. What matters is the fact that you have different directions so close together. So when you see red and blue really close together, that's bad. And so you actually can see there are multiple clusters in this region right there. All of this mixing, we call it magnetic mixing, makes this region incredibly unstable. And so not only is it still an M-class player, it is an X-class player. So we really have to pay attention to this thing as it continues to rotate in Earth view. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation outlook over the coming week, NOAA has given us about a 70% chance of an M-class flare with a 25% chance of an X-class flare over the next 3 days, and that will continue until region 2422 has rotated out of sight. We also have about a 25% chance for a proton radiation storm, and that's because region 2423 has rotated off of the west limb, and it is still firing flares because region 2422 and 2423 are magnetically connected. So when we see 2422 flare, we know on the backside or just out of view, 2423 is also flaring. And if it's flaring on that west limb, it can actually cause these particles to come streaming right toward the Earth and cause a proton radiation storm. So this week has turned out to be incredibly exciting. We've had two magnetically linked players on the sun that have been firing M-class flare after M-class flare. And even though one of them has now rotated out of view, we still have that other player to contend with, and it's still delivering M-class flares. And this will continue probably for the next 3, maybe even 4 days until that region is fully out of view. So you amateur radio operators are going to have problems with the bands. The propagation probably will be much better on the night side than on the day side. And so, you know, just wait till the sun goes down. And then you GPS drone operators and UAV pilots and precision farmers, again, you may have issues with satellite lock, especially near the terminators. If it's kind of sunrise, sunset, that type of thing, you could have more issues there. So you have to be a little bit careful and just know that, you know, things are going to be tough for the next few days. Outside of that, we haven't seen any Earth-directed solar storms despite all of this flaring. So you aurora photographers, you know, you can take a break for a bit. We're really not going to be seeing anything, even though we have all of this activity on the sun right now. So outside of that, enjoy the show, and thank you for watching.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Dr. Scove. And George, I got to tell you, it's just amazing seeing all these cool ladies who have gotten into and are part of amateur radio. We have, of course, the lady with the ears net there who's starting that. We had the lady over in the UK, I think a couple of weeks ago, who was starting up a net. And then we have of course, Heather Emby. We have Cheryl. We have Karen Eve Murray. Dr. Scove is not licensed yet, but she's working on it. The world belongs to the YLs. It's their world, and we're just living in it. And you know what, George? That's a pretty doggone good place to be, my friend. How are you tonight?
Oh, doing pretty good, Don. Yeah, your wife is not a ham, and neither is mine. But, you know, that could always change. It took 30 years for me to get my son to get his ticket, so there's still hope.
Never
anyway, yeah, it's great to see all these ladies coming on into the hobby and enjoying it. You know, it's really a lot of fun, and I think they've been left out for a lot of years. So, you know, they could just take over, and then we'll be able to use the remote for the television.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. Okay. Well, before we get on into our contest, let's take a moment here to have a message from ICOM. Are you contest ready? Expand your band experience and check out ICOM for the best in HF. Once again, ICOM raises the bar with the IC7851. Radio features include a 1.2 kHz optimum roofing filter, new local oscillator design with improved phase noise, and several spectrum scope enhancements. The pattern of perfection continues with ICOM's IC7700. This radio features a spectrum waterfall display on an impressive 7-inch color LCD, digital voice recording to capture incoming and outgoing calls, and direct remote control operation with ICOM's RSBA1 software. For solid HF operation this season, try ICOM's IC7600. This rig offers advanced DSP technology and 3 IF roofing filters, dual watch on the same band, and LED backlighting on an ultra-wide 5.8-inch display. Make sure you visit ICOM America/amateur for more information on ICOM's complete line of amateur radio products. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win some great swag prizes from ICOM, like T-shirts and hats and posters and a lot more. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation for the official rules and register while you're there. You can also learn how you could win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for this month, it's going to be the ID51A 50th Anniversary Edition VHF UHF Dual Band Handy Talkie with D-Star, integrated GPS, micro SD card slot, fast DV data, IPX7 waterproof construction, near repeater list up for DV and analog repeaters, enhanced DPRS, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation, and register to win. And, you know, last week I asked you a question And here it is. What is the resistance of a circuit in which the current of 3 amps flows through a resistor connected to 90 volts? Again, what's the resistance of a circuit in which a current of 3 amps flows through a resistor that's connected to 90 volts? And your choices were A, 3 ohms, B, 30 ohms, C, 93 ohms, or D, 270 ohms. Well, we had a winner, and that was Kurt, KD8UHQ. And Kurt says the answer is B, 30 ohms. And you're correct, Kurt. Just a little Ohm's law will tell you that. And just about everyone got that right, but we can only have one winner, and we're going to send Kurt one of these Heil Sound caps, courtesy of Bob and everyone over at Heil Sound. We'll be getting that out to you this week, Kurt. And I've got, this is going to be tough to do, but we're going to try to do it anyway. I'll show you what the prize is first. It's going to be a Contest University textbook for 2015, courtesy of DX Engineering. If you'd like to win that, well, here's what we're going to do. We've got our Simpson 260. We've got it set to R times 100. That's going to be tough to see. And if I touch the two leads together, you can see there that it is working. Now what I'm going to try to do is take a capacitor and put it across these two leads and then pick up the meter so that you can see it. All right, here's an electrolytic capacitor right here. This is 1,000 microfarads at 50 volts. You know, a capacitor will block DC, and it won't pass through a capacitor. But what I'm going to do is touch the two leads here and let you look at it on the meter. And since I can't really pull that off very well, there we go. Just touched it right there. You saw the meter. It didn't do anything. So tell me, is this capacitor good or is this capacitor bad? Send the answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And if you win, well, we'll send you that Contest University 2015 textbook. Okay, I think Bob has something special to show us to close out the show here before Amanda comes in. Bob, what have you got this week that is new?
Hi, George. Good to see you. We're having lots of fun here in the plant. I don't get here that often. And I just walked by one of Jerry's desks. He just built a microphone that looks like it's going to end up on one of Carrie Underwood's next performance. And so if you guys have a fin with the red screen in it, Carrie's got one also. Yes, I have something that is amazing. Let me move this camera around here because I'm going to show you an amazing thing. George, you're going to love this if you haven't seen it. The guys at Comet sent this in. It's brand new. It's just coming on the market. Now, we all know about analyzers, but do we know about this one? This is a new Comet CAA500. What makes it different is it has a screen underneath here, and I'm going to turn this light off because I think you might be able to see it if I do this. Here's what happens. If I take an antenna, I've got a 5/8 wave antenna. This is a 2-meter antenna. Just for test purposes here, I'm going to put this little baby on here, and we're going to see where it resonates. But it does it in a very different way. Let me put this on. Hang on just a second. This is an incredible piece of gear, and I got to get me one of these. I really do. When it comes out, it's out. I think tomorrow they start shipping. Okay, here we go.
Got looks like it. A handy talkie.
It does, doesn't it? George, can you see the graph underneath it in here? Can you see
yeah.
that? Okay, see that? Okay. Watch what happens. It's telling us the band edges, and it's charting a graph, if you can read that and see it. And that graph.
Can't quite see it here. It's I guess the camera's just kind of blown out.
It's drawing a graph from 144 to 148.705, and of course corresponds with the meter, but it actually draws a graph of what you're looking at. This antenna sitting here right now is at 50 ohms, and it's 1.1 to 5 at 148 megs. And you do the graph again, and it'll run that whole chart. When you put the antenna on, it'll tell you where the band edges are and what draws a graph for you. I am amazed at this piece. It's going to be a really great help to all of us that are out there messing around with antennas. And you might want to look for it. It's a Comet. I just put up one of their new tri-bands, and next week I'll have some pictures of all of that that Al and Cliff came out to help me with. I got it up, and it works really good. And this meter was without it. There are a lot of meters, as you know, but some of them are hard to read and hard to figure out. This one draws a graph for you. Hello. It's really neat. But I wanted to get it in the program and show you what's coming up, and I'm sure you'll be able to get it at DX Engineering also. Maybe not tomorrow, because I think they're just shipping them to the folks here today or tomorrow, but be looking for it. It's the Comet, and it's really, really great stuff, as everything else at DX Engineering. Well, I think we're going to switch our mode out to Colorado, where the big signals come from. Amanda, how are you doing? Another one of those wonderful YL operators.
I love the YLs, and I'm hearing so much great feedback about the YLs coming in. But first, happy birthday, Bob.
Thank you.
You know we love you.
Thank you. Well, it's fun to be this old, but I still feel like I act like I'm 12. So that's okay, right?
I bet Sarah agrees 100%.
She does.
Anyhow, speaking of you, Bob, some people noticed the microphone. Now, was that the microphone you had featured behind you last week? Because some people are curious about the microphone you were showing off.
I don't know, because I have all kinds of microphones. I'm always playing with stuff. I also have some old vintage microphones. You might have seen some of the vintage stuff, because I've got some 1930 RCAs and broadcast mics. They might have been checking into some of that. I don't know exactly, because there's always a lot of stuff. Of course, that's out in our lab out in the Ozarks. But probably was one of those old vintage guys that I play with all the time.
There you go, guys. That they've been kind of curious about that in the chat. And they said, I think Bob's working on a new microphone. So we're just going to have to wait and see. With that, George, I'm going to ask you this question. Pierre would like to know. He says if he makes an antenna mast for his RV, can it be still, or will it affect the radiation of the wire antenna he's using?
Can it be still? Well, yeah, I wouldn't use it still right to the feed point. Maybe put a short piece of PVC or something insulating at the top, or offset it so that you've got a little L that comes out, and then your feed point hangs out here. You don't want it to, right against the steel mast, though. Just get a little bit of separation. Wouldn't you agree, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Got to have separation is really important.
Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about HF. If it's a VHF or UHF, then yeah, typically you'd put it on a steel mast. So I'm assuming he's meaning HF.
Okay. And he did not mention one way or the other. So we'll go ahead and stick with that. And it was so fun watching some of the comments. We have to ask you guys, what do you think diddle stick means? Bob, what does diddle stick mean?
Well, in the days of tube transmitters and radios, you had to tune the coils. And this was a little nylon. It had to be nylon. and it was a hex, maybe an eighth of an inch, and it fit down inside that coil. And the reason he needed to be nylon is so it didn't detune the slug that was in it. And you just had to diddle around till you got it on frequency. And that's kind of where the name diddle stick came from. But it was a tuning wand that you could tune the coils. And there's one right there that George has. Mm-hmm. And usually they were plastic or fiberglass. And you get it down in the coil and away you go. I have to get some of my diddle sticks and bring them along for next week.
That's interesting. And other comments I saw in the chat were diddle sticks has been replaced by tweakers. Don, do you think that's true?
Yeah, I mean, because that's essentially what you're doing. I mean, in parlance, you're tweaking the coil. And so, yeah, I mean, whatever you want to call it, a diddle stick, a tweaker, it's all the same thing. It's still a little non-conductive tool with either a screwdriver end or, like Bob said, a hex end, depending on what the slug is that's inside the coil. And you're just screwing that ferrite slug up and down inside that coil, and you're tweaking or diddling the magnetic properties of it and the inductance and the reactance and everything. So that's what you're doing. It's, yeah, diddle stick, tweaker, whatever you want to call it. That thing over there. Clyde, hand me that thing over there. I need to tweak my diddle my tweak. I need to adjust my, how you say, with the Clyde.
Yeah.
I need that right there. Yeah.
These are tweakers here. Tweakers are actually tiny screwdrivers that are used for adjusting pots and things that it's okay to get metal against. But your diddle stick is, like Bob was saying, it's fiberglass or plastic or something that you can put on an inductor or capacitor where metal would affect it.
Very good. That's great, you guys. And speaking of tweakers, we always talk around our local repeaters here that when someone's messing with something, they have a case of tweakinosis. So fun stuff. Anyhow. I have a
couple more questions. Well, it's legal in Colorado now. So, you know, it's legal in Colorado now.
That's not the same thing. Nope. Okay. So, a couple announcements, and then I have one more question. Rhett from the Mission Bay Amateur Radio Club would like to announce that Derek, KK6WMI, and Chris, KK6WMJ, just achieved their technician licenses. So, thanks to them. I'm very proud of you guys. And I think the Mission Bay Amateur Radio Club is very new. So these are their two first licensees that they've helped. So congrats, you guys. Thanks for helping out in the ham radio community. With that, we have another newbie, Michael KG5JKV. And he says, I'm going to my first ham fest and I want to know, what should I do? Should I look for a radio there? What experience should I gain out of my ham fest? Now, Don, I know you go to a lot of ham fests as a visitor, as a consumer. You're not there with a booth, things like that. So I'd like to have your info on this.
Wow. You know, I was just thinking, thinking back about the Yaesu experience, the first time that I bought a real radio, the first radio I bought was a Radio Shack HTX 202 handheld, and I went with Dawn's Uncle John, actually my wife's Uncle John, KB5TQG, who lives right over there on the property with us, I was looking for a dual band handy talkie, and man, we came across this Yaesu FT530, and I had to have it. So first real radio I ever bought was that Yaesu FT530. Great radio. Still have it.
So it depends on
what he's looking for and I would go with eyes wide open and no expectations. Just suck it all in. And, you know, if you've got a little bit of cash and you see something that you just absolutely have to have, go with a friend, go with someone who has been a ham for a while. Kind of have your little Hamfest Elmer there with you and decide what it is you want and what it is you need. And if you need it bad enough and you've got the wherewithal to get it and you think that it's something that is going to help you out, then by all means, go for it. But don't just go in and say, give me that there, you know, not knowing it is exactly what it is you need. Go with a little bit of help. So, you know, the buddy system always works out good when you're going to Hamfest anyway, until you get a few under your belt and then you can fly solo like, you know, the big boys do.
Absolutely. By the way, you guys, I purchased mine. I had to have a dual bander, and this guy has been great for me. And I also loan it out a lot for help with Aries communications during events such as bike rides, parades, yada, yada, yada. So it's a great radio there. And Bob, I know you feature at a lot of HamFest and you see people show up for the first time. What advice could you offer them for their first HamFest?
Well, the first thing you want to do is make all the booths, make the rounds, and try to find a dealer that you really like. You get along good with them, get a rapport going so that when you want to purchase a piece of gear or ask a question about a piece of gear, they'll be there to help you. And I really think that when you go to the first HamFest, you're not always going to come home with a bunch of radios. You might come home with some books.
Yeah.
That's very important. We sell a lot of our Heil Ham Radio handbooks to newcomers because they can learn a lot about putting a station together and find out a little bit more about this hobby. Because after you take that test, there's so much more that you can do. So check out a good dealer. That's very important because HamFest always have a few dealers there. Sure. And if you're lucky to hit some of the bigger ones that have the suppliers, such as Kenwood, Yaesu, and all of the ICOM people, they have big booths. Go in and learn a little bit about their radios. Right. That's very important. Personnel is golden in this whole communication age that we have, and we call it ham radio. Now, that'd be my advice to get together and know some of these people that you're going to rely on.
Before you go in and bring a radio home, go through and bring the flyers home. Or if you're not going to bring them home, at least grab the flyers of the radios that you're interested in. Go find a quiet spot. Maybe go have lunch and sit there at the table. Run to your local fast food joint or whatever and sit there and go through your flyers and say, okay, if you're absolutely going to buy a radio, go through and look at all the flyers and decide what you want. And then go back and ask a lot of questions and decide exactly what it is that you want, because you don't just want to buy something just spur of the moment because, ooh, I like the color of that blinky light right there. Well, you know, blinky lights don't get you out. It's the electronics inside and everything else. So that's the main thing. Arm yourself with information before you start tossing over the hard-earned green stuff.
I agree. Not only that, but look underneath those tables, you guys, because a lot of times they have a lot of boxes that are for free. A lot of magazines, a lot of old QST magazines. It's going to fill you full of information and some publications that are even not even in existence anymore. And I can't think of it and I feel bad about that, but there are a lot. And VE3 MIC Mike wants to discuss a little bit of RF, and he said, well, let's talk about RF safety. And I have to tell you, I got my first RF burn 2 weeks ago. I had a guy setting up an APRS mobile station that we were putting into a vehicle for a 100-mile bike run. And I'm just going to go over this real quickly. He's programming it, yada, yada, yada. He hands me the little mic, the antenna, and he says, here, hold this. All of a sudden, I'm feeling this tingling sensation right here as I'm holding it. And all of a sudden, it felt like my hand was on fire. I was getting an RF burn, and I had no idea what it was. Please, you guys, be careful. Be careful of those RF burns. That's all I have for tonight. Bob, we'll send it over to you.
Yes, be very careful. And when you get into the higher powered stuff, it can be dangerous or deadly.
Lethal,
so yeah. Be careful. Be careful. Well, it's been a fun time tonight. Really so happy to hear about the Yaesu move to join Tim Duffy and all at DX Engineering. We, everyone here on the TWiT network, appreciate the support that DX Engineering gives Ham Nation, because without the support of DX Engineering and ICOM and some of the many other sponsors, we wouldn't be here. So be sure you tell them that when you're shopping or just want to call up and tell them how much you enjoy the show. It's very important. Well, we're going to all come back next week. There's a lot going on all the time right here on Ham Nation. We try to bring you things that that help you. That's so important. Speaking of help and speaking of ladies, she's not here, but you're looking behind me. the position of Donna. Donna McIntyre has been with Heil Sound for 22 years. She is our service director. She knows more about ham radio microphone connections and pinouts and stuff than any ham I know, and she's amazing. She doesn't know how to operate that radio, but she knows the pins. She knows what microphones work, and boy, can she fix things. And that's where she is every day. And so for all of you that are Donna fans, there's Donna's station. We're very happy to be here and show you around a little bit. As I said, there's three other warehouses over here, and you've only seen just one side of the whole thing, but that's okay. We're here to have fun. We're here to help you, and we will see you again next week. Be sure and tell all your friends. Join all the networks now, all of the 20-meter, 75-meter, 40-meter, and to do drop. Let's see. George, do you have all the frequencies there tonight?
I have some of them here, Bob, but let me mention – we were talking about the tweakers and the diddle sticks, and it's also called an alignment tool. Just because you've got one of these does not necessarily mean you need to use it. before you start turning things, make sure that they really need to be turned. Once you get to the point where you need one of these, you've been turning it too much.
Past the point of no return at that point.
Frequencies tonight. I know that the 20-meter net is on 14.268. The 40-meter is somewhere around 7.278. Of course, Echo Link, star, do drop in, star, node number 355-800. And D-star always is on reflector 14, module C. And you can listen to the D-star net on hamnationdstar.net. And I think dodropin.org. Also has maybe streaming video of that net going there. So a lot of net resources out there. And I'm not sure if Cheryl is doing 80 meters on 3847 tonight or not. I have not been able to hear her the last couple of weeks. And I'm not sure if she's doing that net or if the conditions have just been that bad.
Well, conditions have been a little rough here and there. And I'm not sure how 3847's been. I haven't been there myself because I haven't been home where I have radios. So look around. That's the next thing. Just because it says 3847 doesn't mean she might be up or down a little bit. So tune around a little, and you'll find them. And the guys are on 20 meters and 40 meters have been really good lately. So check in with all of us, and we'll look forward to seeing you again here on Ham Nation. We'll be right back here next week. It's very simple. A lot of people say, how do I find you? It's easy. You put Ham Nation into Google. Just bring up Google, Ham Nation. Boom. It'll come right up, all 216 programs. So we look forward to seeing you, your friends, and join us every Wednesday night. If you can't be here on Wednesday, check us out 24/7. So we're always here somewhere on the Twit Network. Thanks, everybody. It's been fun. We'll talk next week. This is K9EID from the Heil Sound plant in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bye-bye for now.